Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a strange guy.
Really?
Yeah, I worry. I mean, little things bother me. I'm a worrier. Oh,
yeah! Mac Mania, we will never take us alive. Gotta think about the drama inside. It's the Mac.
It's over! It's over, ladies and gentlemen!
People, welcome back to the Kit Rocks podcast with your boy Evan T. Mac. It's a little bit different. The setting's a little bit different. The red carpet's been rolled out for your boy. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm in the lap of luxury. I'm looking around. There's palm trees and whatnot. I got my wife over here, and I got my man Andre over here who's rolled out the red carpet. I'm telling you, it's been crazy. Listen. The young man over here I'm talking about, I pulled up in town, right? I show up. I hang out. He got food ready for me. He wines me. He dines me. Little sushi. You know what I mean? My sushi choices are whack, but I still, a shrimp tempura roll is sushi, Andre. Yes or no?
Yes. Come on. I had to treat the legend the way a legend deserves to be treated. Come on now.
He doesn't like avocado, California. Just letting you know.
Yo, listen, that's neither here nor there. Here in sunny California, it's been rainy California, but right now it's sunny California. Kick Rocks podcast brought to you by Odyssey and wherever else you guys get y'all podcast. But first things first, young man, what's it like, man? What's it like being born in like the 2000s? What's it like? Can you tell me what it's like? Is he young, but he old, but he young, but he old, but he young? Y'all get what I'm saying when you hear the podcast unfold. What's it like being born in the 2000s?
See, the difference is I don't feel like I was born in the 2000s. Mm. Everybody that I meet and we have conversations, they're always like, oh, you're an old soul. You got this vibe to you. Truthfully, I started working at 10 years old. So I feel like I grew up in front of like cameras and all that kind of stuff. So I'm one of you guys. Come on now.
You are one of us.
I mean, technically, you are millennial.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. Listen, millennial, Xennial, Xennial, whatever.
I know. What is the age?
Boomer.
I don't know.
We're
not boomers. I'm just letting y'all know.
Hell no, we ain't that old. Listen.
We're elder millennials.
Fresh off the Royal Rumble, everyone's giving their takes, everyone giving their thoughts, everyone giving their comments, questions, concerns. We're a little late to the party. However, I wanted to do this right, and my man Andre did not disappoint. So I'm going to kick it over to the wife at first to see what she got on the rundown so we can kind of chop it up and get Andre's thoughts, get everybody else's thoughts around the horn.
Yes, both you guys here. You know, we got about Adam Page, Moxley. Like, what is your take on Mox and Page? What do you think they're doing?
Before we get to the nitty-gritty, let's talk a little AEW. Let's do that. That's what I wanted to do, Andre. What are your, I don't know if you watched Dynamite last night. Put it like this is when I had the rundown set up with the Moxley thing, I was thinking, dude, are you souring on Moxie? Is Moxley?
Okay, yeah, it's crazy you say that because yes.
Tell me what your thought process on Moxley right now, because I think, you know, I'm a fan. Listen, Renee, you know, I'm a fan. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, I'm trying to burn no bridges here. I'm watching the crowd thing, him coming out with the dad thing didn't hit for me. The match was good. But what am I missing? Am I missing something here?
For myself, so I've watched his recent matches, and for me, I'm just kind of like, does John Moxley need to bleed in every match? Because to me, it takes away from the match.
Bruh, bleeding. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, though. So yesterday, there was a shot of him clearly blading. And the thing was, like, when I saw that, I was like, come on now. Like, it turned me off.
So when I was like, my whole philosophy when it comes to blood is the match has to matter. Even if it's like a first blood match, or there's a stipulation in the match, or it's a Hell in a Cell or whatever, it's a cage match. I always felt like, no disrespect to me or no disrespect to any marks out there listening, that for lack of a you don't have to pay for it like you used to. Well, AEW do, but when I was growing up, you had to pay for blood.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. If anybody knows what I mean because the stakes were higher. Evan Mack does not deserve to watch blood for free. Moxley, stop bleeding for me for free.
That's the thing. Like, I think it would mean so much more in a match if he just saved it for like those really, really important matches, the pay-per-view matches, those Dynamite episodes that are marketed in a specific way. Those are the times you save it for. But like every week, it's just excessive.
Yeah, you had talked about that months ago, or maybe even a year ago.
Yeah, just because it's not even a knock on him. I go, bruh, save your blood, man.
Yeah.
You only have a certain amount of pints up in you.
Don't get me wrong. Like, it's badass when he bleeds.
Yeah, because it takes Moxley for Moxley to
bleed. Yeah, that's Moxley. That's him. But I think, like, genuinely, there is a time and a place for it. And it has to be the right match. For example, you think about the Briscoes and FTR, the dog collar match.
Right.
There had to be blood in that match.
Yes.
But let me ask you, did there have to be blood in Adam Page, John Moxley?
No, because if you watch the match, for example, in the same night, we had Samoa Joe and Darby Allin, who it was appropriate if there was a little blood.
Right.
He comes out with a damn hoodie with thumbtacks on it.
Yeah.
So that's appropriate.
Exactly.
He did, for real though.
It's just kind of crazy to me. So there are times and places for blood, right? So we're going to jump around, but I say, like, you think about the Royal Rumble,
right?
The ending, Sammy getting that beat down.
Right.
That's an occasion where I think there should have been blood.
It would have emphasized the drama already more. There was already drama.
Yeah.
The storyline was building. It was a climax. It was a huge crescendo. Would have made people hate Roman even more than they already did was a little trickle of blood coming from Sammy's forehead.
You needed it. And I think for a story of the magnitude of the bloodline.
Yeah.
The bloodline. We've seen no blood from the bloodline, which is something else. But I think, this is a group of badass men that you're portraying. Yeah. A street fighter, an enforcer.
Yeah.
These badass, this tag team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these are guys that can brawl.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we seeing the blood? Like, I get it. Like, sponsors
you said it right there. AEW doesn't care about sponsors enough. Yeah. WWE cares about sponsors too much. And they go, but listen, Andro Evan, shut the hell up. You ain't hear about the gate. You ain't hear about the merch sales. You ain't hear about the numbers. You ain't hear about the record breaking. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. We making money, Evan. Shut the hell up.
I think it's a double-edged sword. Because you think about, like, WrestleMania 37, Bray Wyatt got lit on fire.
Legit.
like the dude, am I mistaken, or did he walk out in a burnt mask like the last time we saw him?
I don't know nothing about nothing.
You know what I mean, though? But like,
nothing about, as soon as you say Bray Wyatt, my mind goes blank.
But like, isn't fire crazier than blood?
Fire to me is way worse than blood.
So like, what? Like
burning something alive?
Yeah. A person, you know it's a human.
You can listen. Like, if I see a piece of paper get burnt, I get uncomfortable. So, like I said, to the Moxley, when I say souring, I believe he's bigger than death matches. I believe he's better than just having death matches. I believe he has more value than just being the guy that bleeds. That's my takeaway. My takeaway is not knocking him. My takeaway is like, Moxley, I think you're better than just bleeding.
I think it's hurting him a little bit.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I agree.
Somebody comes to him back like, oh, okay, all right. He's going to, okay.
Yeah.
He's going to bleed.
Question then, is he using, because I've been a little more casual, so is he using blood rather than high-flying things like he does?
Moxley's blood is like his high-risk maneuver.
So is he doing that instead so that he kind of doesn't have to do that right now?
My personal opinion is, I think, I don't know about you, but I think he just can't shake that where he came from. Like the death matches, and
it's always inside.
It's
of
always
him.
Like it's like it's in his DNA.
Yeah.
I listen. I guarantee you, it makes Renee uncomfortable.
Your father, 100%. Be careful.
Please. Yeah, you a daddy too. You know what I mean? Listen. Oh, listen. I'm concerned, Moxley. That's what this is about. I'm opening the show. I'm supposed to be talking about the Rumble right now. I'm concerned for your safety. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't need your concern. Well, damn it, somebody gotta have empathy. Moxley, stop bleeding on Wednesdays, man. We don't deserve it. We gotta pay for that shit. We gotta pay. Tony Khan, make us pay for that. I don't get to see your blood for free.
Speaking of blood, in LA, the traffic, okay? That yeah, you see, I see blood every day in LA.
Let me tell you something, Andre.
We just, you know.
Andre, we were good coming up here to see your boy, though. Yeah. It was good. It was light and fluffy. But there's been some times during this trip that it's been, you know what I mean? It's been LA doing LA things.
There's sweet times.
This is one of them. Right
Wednesday
now.
The one
is
thing
a sweet
LA
time.
People know: don't get on the freeway at 5 p.m.
So true.
You wait. You avoid it.
You know the funny thing is, you say that, and we do know the rules. Like LA people know the rules.
Yes.
However, like, why are we still on the damn highway at 5?
Oh,
you know what
I mean? It's 10 times worse when it's raining.
Because people don't know how to drive.
Yes. Because, I mean, we lived here. We lived in Vegas. It's the same thing in rain with Vegas because they're not ready for that. But we're from Pennsylvania. And but we're used to snow and sleet and ice rain. And like, so when it rains out here, I'm like, get out of my way.
Oh, mind you, it hasn't rained in LA like up until this last storm, probably for like a few months.
Yeah. That's
so we forget what it's like when it rains.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Yo, it's true. It's true though. And we were monitoring the news. We were back on the East Coast and we were actually like, yo, like,
no, we were concerned.
We were actually concerned for people that was dealing with this kind of rain because like it's, I know it sounds funny, but if you're not used to a certain element, like it can catch you off guard in certain, you know, like Canada's used to snow. That's their thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal, but they're not, if an earthquake happened, a Canadian would lose their mind. You know what I mean? It's all about what natural disaster you're used to. But anyways, what we got coming up next? We got next on the docket. You know what I mean? We're running out. Moxley.
Hey.
Protect yourself.
But you know what? The match though, I thought it was good.
It was a good match.
Hard hitting. I thought there were levels of like realism where you looked at them and they're like, damn, like these guys are really
like Adam Page, they hate each other. I like Adam Page.
Adam Page is just
he grew on me a little bit.
Yeah, like his character, obviously like the cowboy, but there's a realism to him.
Yeah.
Like this is a guy you see in a bar that's like, you know what? Like if something's happening, all right, fuck it. Like yeah, I'll throw down.
Yeah, he'll throw down with you. You could have a beer with him. He's like listen, I do. But let me tell you when I really liked Adam Page. And I told you, I got a rule against calling any black man that calls him Hangman, we have issues. As a black man, I cannot call Adam Page Hangman. So I'm going to call him Adam Page for historical reasons. But listen, that doesn't, like, when I fell in love with him is when he literally did a move outside of the ring. Somebody was drinking a beer. He drank their beer and handed it back to him. I said, This dude could do no wrong for me now.
Literally.
That was awesome, man. That was awesome. He drank their beers. He said, whoop. I said, he drank the beer on TV. I said, I was like, cowboy shit. But anyways, yo, moving right along.
Yes. I mean, yes, we're behind here because everyone else probably has their things
out.
But, you know,
I still got to chop it up.
They can kick rocks.
We got to talk about the Rumble. I wanted to hear, I waited because I want to hear Andre's take on the Rumble. So
yes, we're about some Royal Rumble reactions here. We want to know the men's winner. How do we feel? Was Cody the right decision?
So Andre, what's going on right now? I don't know if you know this. You probably do know this. For some reason, out of nowhere, we've talked. We had a nice little sushi day. Man, that's some hot sake. Yeah, boy, they had the hot sake flowing. Yo, I hate when people say humble brag. I don't humble brag. I'm bragging.
Yellowtail
Andre hooked up the
so
hot
good.
Sake. You know what I mean? Listen. But listen, while we were doing that, we were talking and we were happy about the Rumble results. I just want to let you know, in a few days later, hot sake sushi, a few days later down the timeline, all of a sudden now it's like, Cody Rhodes shouldn't win the Rumble. These are the grumblings and the rumblings I'm hearing. Please, can you please tell the people why they are wrong?
Let me just tell you my problems with it.
Please.
I thought the match, I thought it was good for the first half, Because you had, you didn't know what to expect, Rumble, obviously. But my question is like, why announce that Cody is going to be in the Rumble?
Hated it.
You're going to wait till he's number 30. Right? I feel like when you announce Cody, in the back of your head, you're like, okay, they're announcing them because there's a bigger surprise.
Mm.
Because you don't want Cody to overshadow the surprise. So it's like, okay, like let's announce
it. See, that makes sense.
So throughout the whole Rumble, I was like, okay, like who's it going to be?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, like who? And you know what? Like, it was nobody. It was underwhelming to me because at the end of the day, you knew when you saw Cody, okay, it's his.
If you after you saw Cody, then you counted there was only three more spots because, left. Two, one. The, after that, yeah, you were like, he gotta win. Because
the truth is, it's like him and Gunther at the end, you knew for a fact Gunther wasn't going to win.
It just didn't make sense.
Cody wasn't going to get eliminated by Gunther. No way. It wasn't, you know, like it is what it is.
His storyline's connected to Sheamus still.
Yeah. So for me, like having them be the final two, fine. They fought for like 20 minutes, but it was missing something. It wasn't as big as it could have been.
I agree. I like the Rumble, but I agree with what you're saying because when Brock got tossed, but like yeah. this, I thought Triple H did a great job of, and whoever else helped produce that match, I don't want to shortchange anybody if they're listening to the podcast, but I like that they were setting up, this is the most times I've ever seen stories being set up inside yep. the match. Mm-hmm. They teased a Seth and yeah. Logan. They teased a Brock and Bobby. They teased
Brock and Gunther.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so I like that they're setting up these cool stories. I did, however, was like, man, why did you guys announce Cody? Why?
Another thing, like the men and the women Royal Rumble, right? Mm-hmm. The number one, number two spots mm-hmm. were there throughout the whole match. Mm-hmm. Like Rhea started at number one. Mm. Gunther started at number one.
Yeah.
It's like they were kind of like mirroring each other.
Yeah.
And the thing with the Rumble, it's like I liked in the past how different they kind of like felt.
Yeah.
Because they were like opposites.
Yeah.
This one felt very like, okay, they're doing that. Okay, we should do that for the women too.
Yeah. Mm. I like that. One thing I will say, we talked about it off air. They could be playing it safe, even though Cody just announced all these wrestling tours because he wants to be. And that's the thing about Cody is what yeah. I love about Cody is why he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Cody wants to get the reps. I was praying he was number one or number two.
I thought
it would have been so dope.
It would have made it feel like more special. You haven't seen this man in like 6 months,
dude. It's mm-hmm. And Gunther has the record now. He's the all time record, 1 hour and 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. What if that was Cody? Oh, wow.
Exactly.
That
would have made it so much bigger.
Yes,
and it's like I think also since there weren't any like big surprises. That would have been fine if you had Cody start at number one because it's like
and win the whole thing.
Yeah,
because of his injury, it would have been like people would have been like,
this dude, boy, number one, he's ready. Hard. Number two, he's healthy. Mm-hmm. Number three, he has the cardio mm-hmm. like that. But clearly, Triple H was trying to make a point with Gunther too, though. Like that dude has the cardio.
Yeah,
listen, Gunther will be world champion in 3 years. 3 years? That's a silly prediction, but I'm just trying to get through all the people that could contend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's clearly trying to establish him as a person that's going to be champion, which is fine because I think Sheamus takes the title off of him. I really do. I think Sheamus finally captures the Grand Slam. He only has one title he has never gotten, and he won this Intercontinental. So he finally gets it, and then Gunther gets inserted in the title picture somewhere around.
I like that tag match kind of thing. I like that.
Okay, so what I think is that yes, I think they're gonna fight at WrestleMania, but I think Gunther keeps it until SummerSlam, and I say that because, I mean this is something else, but like that he's trying to beat Pedro Morales's record.
Okay.
I think by the time of SummerSlam, he's already like those people at the top, he's already like passing a lot of them.
So, yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. Now that you say that, it makes more sense than what I'm saying because one thing that Gunther has done is my favorite title when I was growing up was the Intercontinental title for the various people that held the title. And that title held so much prestige for me. And over the years, my biggest criticism was how it wasn't getting the recognition that it deserved. And then here you come, Walter, my guy that will forever be Walter to me, comes around and brings that prestige, literally mm-hmm. makes my dreams come true. Hashtag Hall & Oates. He made my dreams come true by bringing that prestige to the Intercontinental title. But therefore, I don't want him to lose it so fast. So why not? Why not have your point be better than my point? I'm just trying to, because damn it, how long you think Sheamus is going to wrestle WWE? Can he get, all he wants is the Intercontinental Championship. He can lose it back on SmackDown the next week. Can you give him that last title?
Like looking forward, predicting, I see Brock and Gunther logically at WrestleMania 40. Because you know what? To me, this is obviously, I don't know. Obviously, I could be wrong. It feels like Lesnar, like, is kind of like checked out.
But no, I think he's having fun.
He's in chill mode. Yeah, he's in fun.
Yeah.
He's okay, put it like
it's the most I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think
smile.
He's done with the really is. He's having
I love it.
When Brock Lesnar taking selfies.
I love Lumberjack.
No. Brock's feeling good. Yeah. And when you buy checked out, my interpretation of checked out is I think he's just having a good time, not really worried about being the reigning, defending, yada yada.
Yeah.
I think he's just like, having a good I think he wants to have good matches.
Yeah. Right.
I think he wants to have good matches. And I don't think he minds putting people over.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. He let Bobby toss him. He's at the point in his career where he could be like, Triple H, that's not happening.
So let me ask you, looking forward, what do you see happening with Brock at WrestleMania?
I think he's going to put Bobby over.
Mm. Don't you think that there needs to be a big stipulation with this match?
I do, dude, I do. Let me tell you why. Because it's been done before. And
yes,
and like, listen, we kind of touched on it before, dude. But like, I'm saying like this: if anybody listening to this damn podcast that has some power, can y'all understand how easy this would be for y'all? Didn't y'all just tell me about all this record gate foolishness? Then y'all talk about our merch sales are up 35%. And then, by the way, listen, people out there that are tweeting about other people's money, hey fans, I don't give a damn if y'all don't like me saying this because it's true. Stop tweeting about WWE's earnings. You ain't getting none of that money.
Serious.
Stop acting like, yo, you see why they're better than AEW. AEW is 4 years old. Stop comparing WWE with AEW. AEW literally, do you compare babies to adults? You don't do that. So stop doing that. Look at the merch sales. They ain't got nothing to do with you.
So true.
But I can't stop posting other people by my day. Like, why are you counting other people's pockets?
Like, seriously.
Now, WWE, you want to send some of that revenue in Mac pockets? We good. But what I'm trying to say is all that revenue you guys got generated, all that revenue you got generated, UFC Octagon, Dana White, calling the match. Listen, bring in Joe Rogan, bring in Bruce Buffer, have Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, who both been in an octagon, face in an octagon style match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It might steal the entire show. Andre would say you.
I think, yeah, genuinely, like that's what needs to happen, in my opinion.
It'd be so dope.
Just because you know that these two guys can legitimately like kick each other's ass.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the exception. Like, compared to anybody else on the roster.
You'd be like, okay. Like when Floyd faced Big Show.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Right.
All right.
Right.
All
right. But you look at these two guys and it's like genuinely, they could do some damage to each other probably. That's what I want to see as like a
fan. Match, man.
Like, what is stopping them from saying, okay, like, honestly, since it's a different ring, it doesn't even have to be in front of the crowd.
If you really were worried about it, I know SoFi is big enough. You could do
war
games. Yeah. You could put a ring here, octagon there. If you don't want that aesthetic, if that's throwing off your whole flow,
I mean, they always bring down like when they bring Hell in a Cell down, they can just bring down an octagon right in the middle.
Bring it right down next to it, and then bring it right back. Listen,
it's like if they really want to show people, then we're gonna change some things. I've never seen something like this done before.
Brock and Bobby facing, to me, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, which will be 39. And then everyone's like, but it's until 40. I know. This one feels different. Something different. Mm-hmm. It's hitting a little different.
It's LA.
It's LA, bro.
Yeah.
It's the LA big. Vibe. It's Hollywood. It's Tinseltown.
SoFi.
It's SoFi. To me, the greatest arena in the world. That I've never been into, by the way. But
he's already like, it's
the greatest arena of all time. But that match needs something different.
It needs something. Like, I mean, a no holds barred match is like fine, but I'm just kind of like,
hear us.
This is a match that needs blood.
Yeah, but see, that would be an MMA fight.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think it was 2016 when it was Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar, and Randy showed up to like Raw, I think, and Brock gave him these elbows, and Randy's face was bleeding.
But then there was a shot
of him where it was like the blood was like dripping.
Same thing he did with Cena when he cracked Cena wide open.
The thing is, I think Brock knows how to do it.
Yes!
Of course he does.
It's like, why? Like, come on. We haven't seen blood on WWE TV in a long time.
It's so funny. AEW has too much blood. WWE doesn't have enough blood.
Yeah.
Because they have matches and stipulations and parts of their storylines where blood does matter. Bloodline, mm-hmm. Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Bobby and Brock has to have a little bit of blood.
Just a teeny weeny bit.
Like, it needs to have a special, like there has to be a stipulation.
Hey, Dana White, Bruce Buffer, Octagon,
that's what I'm saying.
Joe Rogan.
I wouldn't.
Cross promotion
writers,
like if,
writers,
even if it's not an octagon, You know what I wouldn't mind? I wouldn't mind like a dog collar match between the two.
Give me different stipulation. Dog collar match, dog whistle match. Just something. Do something different, damn it.
Dog leash match.
What we got? We got off track. What we got?
I know we did.
But it was in a good way.
It was in a good way. Now, you know, now the women's rumble, you know, was Rhea the right decision?
Now, I've always, I told you that on the show before that Rhea's going to win and Cody's going to win. And I'm a firm believer in the right decision doesn't mean it's the wrong decision. You know what I mean?
Everyone's
Well, should I say the obvious decision doesn't mean it's the wrong decision. And Rhea winning, it's she's due. First Australian to win a Royal Rumble ever. Male or female. She was the right choice. With all due respect to the brilliant women in the locker room, they're not on her level, man.
No.
No, yeah.
They're
Rhea's
just not.
You
Bianca's look, Bianca, yeah. Bailey's Bailey, Becky's Becky. Charlotte is, to me, is. Charlotte's, to me, is the greatest of all time already. She should be chiseled into the stone of some kind of pantheon of something. So I don't even talk about Charlotte. Charlotte, I don't even talk about. But as far as women without any titles or women without any. Rhea Ripley's the best. She was getting legitimately kicked in the face, Andro. Bleeding. People were kicking her face, slapping her around, and she still stood there. Look, if you see a picture of Rhea's face after the Rumble, she got jacked up.
She messed
up. I think if you look at Rhea maybe like 7 months ago compared to now.
It's incredible.
Complete difference. I think like at first when she went into the Judgment Day, I don't think anybody really knew what was going to happen.
And everybody pretends like they do, they're lying.
I don't think anybody knew what was going to happen.
No way, dude.
So you look at where she is now, she has this confidence about her that she didn't have 7 months ago. This is her Rumble. Months ago, I said, I think it's her. She's going to win.
That makes so much sense.
With Dom, too, like, there's just something there that Rhea has that everybody else doesn't have.
Yeah. And it makes, to your point, it makes so much sense because my personal opinion, you know, not even speaking to her like that, like, she's a super, super nice person in real life. She's like insanely nice.
Oh my gosh,
she's like
yes.
Mary Poppins nice.
Like, seriously.
And I think it was hard for her to get into that character.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like being mean to fans.
Yeah.
And she likes taking pictures. Well, I think that was hard for her to perform. Because Judgment, you have to be ruthless. Yeah. I think that's what took her a while to get to, because she was like, man, I gotta be mean now.
Like, how do I tap into that?
Yeah, because she's not mean. Mm-hmm. When you come from good stock and your parents are amazing and you're this happy-go-lucky Australian woman who's incredible, it's hard to be mean on TV when you see
but
a little
you know
kid
what?
Being like Rhea.
But I think that's a testament to her talent.
Yeah.
Is that she's able to turn that on and be that badass and that rude character. And
yeah, because I can't imagine her being like that in real life.
She's such a nice person.
Like I said, he was working and she just kept going, like waving to me and like paying attention to me. I'm like,
she's
I'm
a
not
very
even,
she's
not
always
even
like
me.
Behind her. She's like, hey, I'm like, she's very nice. So like to your point, it's a testament to her as a character and tapping into a different side of her. And that tapping into that side has made her a true heel to go against, to me, the great Charlotte Flair, which is always the right choice, guys. You got to understand, ring to ring, woman to woman, pound for pound, Charlotte Flair is the greatest woman wrestler to ever live. Mm. Hell, Charlotte, with all said and done, I'm gonna just drop the woman thing.
Yeah,
Charlotte is the truth, man. So think about it. Full circle, the pandemic match.
There's a story.
Rhea was too young, wasn't ready. Guys, I'm already telling you who was winning that match. There's no way in hell Rhea Ripley loses that match at WrestleMania.
No.
I promise you.
Clean. She's going to win clean.
She's going to be gunner. It's going to be clean without any help from the Judgment Day.
It's going to be a very competitive match, too. And I think both of them really need that.
Yes.
I think Charlotte needs that. And I think Rhea needs like a real, like, let's show everybody. Let's show these, 70,000 people that are going to be at WrestleMania. Like, let's show them that women actually can do, like, so much better than the men.
Oh, yeah.
This is their time to really prove themselves.
And I think they will do just that.
Yeah.
That's the women's match that, to me, will steal the show. It's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be brutal. And Charlotte has no... The thing about Charlotte, people don't know, she does not mind losing.
No.
Not as long as it elevates the division, long as it elevates the woman as a product, long as it elevates the company, Charlotte's going to lose flat on her back and give that title to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I guarantee you.
Yep.
And it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the women's rumble was more exciting.
Women's rumble showed a lot of what's to come from the women's division. Mm-hmm. Piper Niven.
Dope.
Roxanne Perez.
Yes, the correct name.
Like, there are so many people that were really highlighted and spotlighted.
I agree.
And you really opened eyes to fans. Like Piper Niven coming back, like, not as Doudrop.
Ugh.
Right call. She had this badassness to her. Like, I don't know. Like, it's crazy that Nia Jax walked out at the end, because throughout the match, when I'd see Piper, I was like, wait a second, she's giving me this vibe of like Naya, like
beating Naya vibes.
Yeah, like beating up these people. Like she could be a star.
Would you be into it? Would you be into a Naya Piper match?
I would.
Oh, I totally would.
Yep.
It'd be dope.
Yeah.
Be dope. I'm not saying they're going that direction. I'm spitballing here. You know, every Mark fantasy books, you know, and
yeah.
You know, I like to say I'm a Mark at certain times. So I'm trying to fantasy book something that'd be really dope. And I'm also a fan of Nia Jax being the first female in the bloodline as well, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
You know what? Why not?
Dude, what are we doing here? Come on now.
I think that was a call they should have made. Like months ago.
Months ago. And I know there's a whole lot of things going on. And like I said, there's still time. Time is still, it's a construct.
Yep. Like I'm still like mad Tamina ain't in there yet.
She should be in there.
I mean, I know she's like a kind of a legend, but she's also like, still there. She's still badass.
When they became the title collectors, every person had a title. It's like, you know, there's some titles that you guys don't have. And those are the women's titles.
I agree. Hello?
It's like logically, I mean, obviously we're talking as real people, but like, don't you think Roman would be like, I need all the titles.
Yeah, see, I do think they're embroiled in, to me, the best storyline. Probably, we're going to get to it, and I'm going to be careful, but this is probably the best storyline of my lifetime as a wrestler. And the only one that's it probably just trumped is Kane and Undertaker storyline.
Because
the Kane and Undertaker storyline, from a storyline perspective, also, there was a dope storyline that was quick, but it was dope. Wasn't as long. It was CM Punk and Jericho that at WWE
with the alcohol.
That was dope. Yeah. That was dope because it was personal. But it wasn't as long. Everyone was like, "This is the best storyline ever." God, they've had 2 years to do it.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a people don't understand. Soap operas are popular, Andro, is because they go on for
20 time.
Years, 30 yeah. years. There's before my great aunt passed away, she was watching Young and the Restless for 30 years.
Yeah, and you know like. That's the thing I think why people have been connecting to the storylines.
It's
because
long.
You know what? Like they're actually telling stories.
They're actually telling a story. They're not just throwing a match together.
Exactly. And you know what though? We say telling a story, but like I feel like some stories have been just like they're being told for too long.
They're being told for too long with not any real direction.
Like Bray Wyatt.
Oh.
Come on, guys. Like, can I just get this out here?
Yeah.
See, I was going to go ahead, man.
I just don't get it. Like, it's hard for me to watch.
I was going to leave this man alone, but here you go. Go ahead, man.
Nah, like, I was so excited. I was excited when he came back at Extreme Rules.
That's all I want of him.
Yeah, like, he came back with this cool mask that we never got an explanation for, mind you.
Again.
Now he came out to this, like, cool mask, never mentioned it. Number two, like, how long are you going to take to tell us, like, who the hell is Uncle Howdy? Like, what is that turning into?
Andro, you don't understand. The spirits are telling me. I don't fucking know.
The only reason I've been invested in this storyline, to be honest with you, is because of LA Knight. He has made the storyline something to be interested in.
But think about it, though, Andro, is like, it's done now. He's decimated. Yeah. He's destroyed. He has dispatched him with extreme prejudice. There's no more LA Knight.
But that goes back to...
I need him to be built back up.
That goes back to the point of before, what people were talking about months ago about Bray is that a lot of the time... You don't come out better.
No, like you look good. Yeah. Congratulations. Look but everyone knows as a wrestler, your opponent needs to look. It's a co-star and a star. Okay. When you're watching a great scene between two actors, the actor gets off, the co-star gets off, and we're good. But with Bray, Randy didn't come out looking better. Seth didn't come out looking better.
Nope.
LA Knight doesn't come out looking better.
Nope.
So nobody comes out looking better. He looked great. He looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He looks unbeatable.
Yeah.
Like, so, but my problem is, now LA Knight got to go and take a sabbatical. He got to pretend like he on vacation now. He has to lay low. And the reason why he has to lay low is because if he comes back this Friday, it's going to look bad for Bray. So I'm almost certain LA Knight doesn't come back on Friday. If he does, great, because I'll be happy because he's awesome. But he has to lay low because he was killed.
Yep.
He was destroyed.
And like, Uncle Howdy didn't even like land on him. Do you see that video all over Twitter?
I don't talk about botches, but I heard it was a botch. I'm not a botch talker, because damn it, I can't take a flat back bump. But damn it,
it was like
I, don't,
Shane
I told
McMahon.
You, I don't like to enjoy.
It was like Shane McMahon jumping off.
I don't like to enjoy the. Wait, Shane McMahon hits these damn things. Though.
Yes,
we
he
don't.
Does. Though. True. Yes, he does. He totally does.
Hey, you and listen, don't be coming disrespecting Shane McMahon. Damn it! But listen, no. But I'm thinking. I was thinking. Listen, I don't listen. I do not like to. I don't enjoy. Talking bad about Bray Wyatt, I do not, because I was one of his number one fans.
Yes,
I still have pictures of me and the Wyatt family, me and my wife rocking at the Wyatt family, two-thirds of the Wyatt family, down in New Orleans, WrestleMania 30. And these are one of the things that bother me. You know why? Because he overthinks things.
Yep.
You're overthinking the process, brother. Brother, just sit back, put the lantern up, follow the brothers. He got the whole world in his hands. That was over.
I mean, I know Evan was happy to see him actually wrestle.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
That's neither here nor there. Now, am I upset that Bray Wyatt didn't wrestle for 900 days? am I upset that Bray Wyatt barely wrestled on Saturday? Listen, I told you, this is not what this podcast is about. This is not no Bray Wyatt. Because if I start getting started, every fan's going, you don't understand the intricacies of the subject and the predicate of the situation of the heat. There's a beginning. There's a denouement. You just don't understand as we forge through the story. You don't even know what the hell's going on.
All of you listening, he is moving his hands all over the place.
You guys do not understand what the hell Bray is doing. And if you would have just admit that, you and I would be on the same page. Just admit, what the hell is he doing?
People, like, when you think about this, like, 8 months ago when he was released and stuff, people just wanted him back, right?
Yeah. Yes.
We don't need the overcomplicated storyline.
Boom.
But he's complicated.
They missed you.
Yeah. Yes. Like, we don't need you to tell a 6 month story.
They didn't care about the Fiend.
No.
They didn't care. They just missed you.
No, rocking chair, have a lantern in your hand.
They see when
you remember the pop when he walked out at Extreme Rules?
Dude.
They
missed you. So it wasn't about your I think it's clever. The Wyatt family to me could have been the greatest faction in history of wrestling.
Yep.
Because what the thing with the Wyatt family is you can add people, subtract people. Like the Wyatt family, no one really knows the extension of it. So you can launch new wrestlers that way.
Yeah,
when
cousins,
Braun Strowman got in there. You can just bring wrestlers into the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family is just a construct of what you could do.
Yes.
So I think that could have been the greatest faction of all time.
Like Blueprint could have been like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
When he was in the Wyatt family.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Tell that story. But it's like this. It was just like,
somebody needed
one, it took like over a month for them to get to like a reason why like LA Knight is even trying to fight Bray Wyatt. Like that's something I feel like, come on guys, like keep these people entertained. I would watch them. I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh.
You don't get it, Andro. It's long-term booking. I'm like, you can't explain everything away with long-term booking.
No.
Sometimes they don't know what the hell they want to do. Now, damn it. So for example, everyone that's talking all their ish, WrestleMania is coming up. Who is Bray Wyatt going to face?
Yeah,
and make it make sense without him getting buried and losing all credibility.
It's
make it make sense.
Genuinely, like.
Who? See, I can't even name a wrestler. You can't
put like, I heard people like on Twitter, they were like, oh, it's going to be him and Uncle Howdy. I don't even know who Uncle Howdy is.
And also, why?
Why?
Exactly. Like, what?
Him. What?
Like, it doesn't make sense.
He was there. Like, he was there with him. He essentially helped him win the match against LA Knight.
It's his uncle, right?
Lord.
Like, but then also, mind you, now we're adding Alexa to the story again.
It's still somehow.
It's like. Okay. Is this really going to benefit Alexa?
Nope. And that's who I'm worried about, because Alexa, last time I spoke to her, she has a different idea for a character she's been wanting to do for her whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish she would be able to do that.
There's
a character that she wants to do that she will not unveil, that she told me she wants to do that she hasn't been able to do.
Yeah,
I think she's earned the right to try that, but she can't when she's embroiled in this thing.
You know.
And it's like, obviously we don't know who's saying, okay, we want her back in there.
Correct.
Like making those decisions. But it's like, I felt like when he got released and she kind of like went to the therapy and then it's like now at this point, we're throwing all of that away.
Mm.
It's like now that it's not even part of the story anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
The therapy, getting her demonic, whatever out of her, like all of that stuff. Like at the time it was dumb too.
Yeah.
But now you look at it and you're just kind of like, okay, so is that not even part of the story anymore? It just doesn't make sense.
Bray, it's not. I want to do this, Bray. Bray, I'm telling you, I didn't want Andro started this foolishness. He started it, but I will finish it. Damn it. Don't even sing. He got the whole world in his hands no more. What's wrong with you?
Well, he even came out to that song at Extreme Rules.
I know.
I was like, you're teasing me.
So
you're
about to bring my mother. Getting the Wyatt family? I was
exactly. Like, no, but he's like, I refuse to rehash old
and
demons.
Then it's
but you're doing that.
WWE is missing.
But you are doing that.
Just these things that are like right here that you could tell stories with. The human versions of the Firefly Funhouse people.
Come on now.
Like the day he returned, they were on the entrance.
I thought that's what they were going to do. I swear.
Like, I thought it was going to, like, you're unveiling a new Wyatt.
Like,
family.
That would have been they were incredible.
Because then you heard, Vincent and Dutch from Ring of Honor were apparently going to sign with WWE, and it's like, oh, they're going to be with him.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
But that would have been cool.
Hey, that's what we see. That's what you see. This thing. This thing is too much foreplay, Bray.
Let me.
Not enough.
Can I tell you
stuff.
What I would have done? Can I tell you what I would have done?
You tell.
So you had Nikki Cross. Now she's going back to her sanity ways,
yes,
right? It
Nikki
seems
Cross.
Like Eric Young is on his way back. Who is Nikki Cross's husband?
Eric Young!
No, Big Damo.
The big boy, Beast from Belfast.
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I see him coming back. You have sanity against the new version of the Wyatt family. So, why can't you tell that story?
You remember Big Boy?
And the dude can like jump around.
Killian Dane. Remember Killian Dane, big old Beast from Belfast.
Yeah.
My goodness. That's
a story you could tell, but it's just kind of like you missed that opportunity already.
Truly.
Because Nikki and Alexa do have that story together too.
Yes, they do.
And she wouldn't be able to do her thing like you were saying, but transform her into Sister Abigail?
Like why? They could have.
Like, oh my gosh, that'd be so cool.
You know what bothered me the most about that is that's what I always thought the arc was. I thought Alexa Bliss, I thought that was her, that they were doing.
Like, who the hell's Lily?
Yeah, her imaginary.
Shouldn't that technically be Sister Abigail?
Lily is merch.
But Sister Abigail would be merch too. We make her a doll. No, but I always thought the arc was going to be her manifesting. Mm-hmm. Like, he's summoning the spirit of Sister Abigail and infusing it through. Like, hey, y'all listening to this? Take it. Take the idea. Yep. I ain't even asking for no money.
Hear that's us. A story.
Take the story.
Do not kick rocks.
I do this podcast for you to take my shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, what we got?
But see, we were talking about that storyline, but you know, we got away from the greatest storyline.
Yeah. That's probably why I wanted to wrap things up. As far as listen, so we have so many people, that are giving their opinions on the Bloodline storyline, and it's all great stuff. I read what people type. I read what people say. Not dirt sheet wise, because that's not where I like to live. But I like to live in the world where, in the real world with real wrestling fans, if I see real wrestling fans out in the public, I'll ask them questions so I get the real talk. And then I get to the clickbaity people on Twitter and I read what they have to say. Because the WWE and internet wrestling community is, put it like this, wrestling community in general is a space of you have to bring in all information in so you can figure out where people's minds are at. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do know is everyone seems to be pretty much locked in to the Bloodline storyline. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. I do believe, like I said, I was saying earlier, I do believe it's the greatest storyline of my lifetime because of the Samoan lineage. I was always so cool. A little weird about Sami Zayn. This is my unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
I was always weird about Sami. I'm one of the only people that was weird about Sami Zayn entering the Bloodline because it's called the Bloodline.
Yes.
Now, everyone can get mad and you don't know what you're talking about. Sammy's great.
But
in that sentence, did I say Sammy was not great?
Exactly.
I did not say that. So every time someone says something, everyone gets hyperbolic. When I say Sammy shouldn't be in the Bloodline, it literally means because he shouldn't be in the Bloodline. Mm-hmm. It's called the Bloodline.
Yeah.
It's not called the Bloodline in the already Oos or the Bloodline in the guy. Because what I'm trying to say is if Evan Mack joins the Bloodline tomorrow, I throw it off too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not a part of the Bloodline.
Exactly.
I'm not a part of the Bloodline. So I was always weird. And I'm telling you, I said this a while ago. I go, this is going to undermine everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. Now what are people clamoring for? Sami Zayn in the main event of WrestleMania. Over Cody Rhodes.
I think WWE really backed themselves into a
corner. Dude, Sami Zayn is doing the Lord's work with what they've given him. However, the story arc was Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. It started the Bloodline.
Yeah.
And so when you insert Sami Zayn chucking and jiving and everyone's like, Sami, it's ha ha he he. I go, this is going to turn into something. And yeah. And I'm not going to like it. Now Cody has to sit back being like, what? And that was always my issue with this great storyline. Sami inserted and everyone's like, Elimination Chamber? This is BS. I go, no, it's not. It's a title match.
Yeah. But then also, it's like, on that end, you already know that Sami's not going to walk out of Elimination Chamber with the title. Because on Monday, what did they announce? You already have Roman Reigns main event. Or both titles. I think for realism, like, if they wanted to, Sami can be like, okay, I want to challenge you for the Universal title. That's it. But it's like, no, you already have it established at WrestleMania that Roman is defending both titles.
And that's my issue right there. My issue has always been the two titles on Roman's shoulders. Not the aesthetic, not the storyline, not how they did it. I told everybody, eventually, they are going to back themselves into a corner. But how, Evan? When he has to lose.
Yeah.
When he has to lose. So when Roman has to lose, what's he going to do? So every champion from now on is going to have two titles?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
That's the thing. That's the thing, too. So when people were saying that, like, oh, Cody's only going to challenge for one. Logically, if I were Cody, I'd be like, no, I want both. If I could pin you and get both, I want both.
Undisputed champion.
Like, why would I get one?
Exactly. Cody would never realistically go, I'm going for that title.
Yeah.
No, you got that. This is what I say. This is the trouble you run into. You've established Roman as an all-time great. That's undisputed.
Like an ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ultimate boss. He's the boss at the end of, like, listen, whatever, Contra. Was a hard video game?
Yeah.
Anybody out there beat Contra and Nintendo, God bless him. Listen, he's that boss. He's boss level, right? So that's all they were worried about. I guarantee you, anybody that wrote this arc, even though it was Roman, and any person that has decisions like Triple H, Vince, guarantee you guys did not think about how you're going to take it off of them.
Nope.
Guaranteed.
No.
Because I think even at that point, you looked at the landscape and you're like, okay, who can logically defeat him? There was nobody.
Because Cody wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
But then also looked at like NXT. Okay, logically, who could we call up?
Braun Breaker
would get demolished.
Stop it.
Quick.
Stop it.
Like that's why I think also like they dug themselves in a corner even back then. Just because logically, like from a fan standpoint, like, okay, like who could logically defeat him?
Exactly.
And like
that's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, so like going along, like the only way I can see if they are able to separate these two titles, like you said, Cody going, he's going to go for both. If Cody wins them, the only way I can see it coming off like and getting separated is like in a comedic way where like somebody comes up and is like, no, this is too hard. I just want that one. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It has to be like comedic.
I've come up with so many scenarios. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I'll come up with a scenario where two-night Roman, everyone's like, this is ridiculous. I go, you know, anybody, hey, listen, I'm talking to the marks that are, anybody, any mark that said this, I'm talking to you specifically. Do you know how ridiculous it sounds to say Roman should not wrestle two nights? Do you know how expensive WrestleMania is?
Seriously, are you kidding me?
So with all due respect, you're thinking very small. For the two-night Roman thing is for people that might not get to go to two nights of WrestleMania. I know this might sound crazy. hey, not everyone can spend two nights on WrestleMania.
What?
Wait a minute.
No.
Really? Two nights in LA?
So, come on, Evan.
I'm reading people being like, that's the stupidest thing. I go, no. Not for pockets, it's not. Getting to see the Tribal Chief on both nights.
Giving fans.
And stop acting like the young whippersnapper can't do it. He got the stamina. So I say there's ways to do it. Sami one night. Roman the next night, Sami, Jay, and Roman one night, Cody the other night. There's ways
I'm
to
telling
do it,
you, like,
but it just
doesn't make sense. Like, if you look at it, like right now, Cody wins at WrestleMania, right?
He will win.
Fine. Like who takes both titles off of
him? That's what I'm saying. I feel like it has.
Like
to be
how
comedic.
Does that? How do you separate them now?
It has to
and
be.
And this
comedic.
Is the problem. What I see, Andro is fine. You have no idea how much flack I get for this. I go, guys, you're not thinking of the bigger picture. All you're thinking about is, Roman Reigns is the greatest champion of all time. By the way, since when does everybody say Roman's the greatest? You listen. You know what I'm waiting on. You know what Evan Mack's waiting on. Evan Mack at the Kick Rocks podcast. You know what he's waiting on? He's waiting on everybody, I would say 70 to 80 to 90% of the wrestling community, to where are the uploaded videos of y'all public apology of Roman Reigns?
For real.
Mm-hmm. Where's your public apology?
Because everyone likes to pretend. They were hating.
Are you kidding me?
Every event we went
to. Boot out of the building.
Roman Reigns had leukemia. And in 2 months, boo. They were still booing him.
Literally. Yes.
Leukemia. So my thing is, before we can all, this, it's what pisses me off, Andro, is the people that argue with me were the people that booed Roman. Yep. No. You don't get to argue with me because you hated when Roman had the titles. It's actually worse now than any time Vince McMahon did it. Think about it. Because he hasn't lost in almost 900 days. And so it's his reign is worse.
But can I ask you a logical question?
Please.
Logical. So that night he came back with Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. He missed. He was gone because he was sick, obviously.
Yes, yes.
I think a few months, maybe a year, whatever.
When he speared Bray.
So what is the difference with the Roman that we have now and the Roman before? Like what makes him now unbeatable.
I think it was
you know what it is truly though. He's turned the corner. I think because Roman's getting to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think Roman was never.
He's off that leash now.
He's
right?
off the leash. Mm-hmm. The big dog unleashed. Never meant to be a baby face. In the way Vince wanted. Yeah. Vince was thinking the next Cena. He didn't realize he could have made the next Austin. Because yes. Cena's a babyface. So I think he was thinking the next Cena instead of the next Austin. Because Austin was, with all due respect, Austin does everything that heels do.
Uh-huh.
He was a babyface heel. He's an anti-hero. Yeah, he's Deadpool, you know what I mean?
But I think that's why people liked him.
Yeah, and that's why I think that. So translate to Roman right now. Roman, trust me, you've been there, we've been there, you see the crowds. When Roman's music hits, everyone throws up the one. He's a heel by any stretch of the imagination, but he's loved. That's Austin kind of heat. The first time they've ever really turned on him was Royal Rumble, that FU Roman, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So my thing about it is Roman Reigns at this present point in time, when he loses this title, if he wins the title, my problem always was the two titles.
Yeah.
If you're not going to merge the title, if Fox and USA has rules and they want separate titles and separate shows, they're God-given right. They pay enough money for it. Eventually. You have to take one of these titles off Roman. And I came up with another way.
Because I think also keeping both titles on him, you're kind of taking away from other superstars that could turn into superstars.
That's my biggest issue.
By having both titles on him, you're not really legitimizing these superstars.
My biggest issue is what you just said. Evan, why do you want him a title? Because, guys, with all due respect.
It's two shows for a reason.
And you're not going to make me care about the United States title. Stop. Stop it. Please. The last time it matters is when Johnny Boy had it and he was doing the open challenge every week.
Yep.
Yeah.
That made it matter.
Yep.
Every week someone came out and challenged. That was dope. Intercontinental title finally has prestige now. Don't make me care. But it's not the Universal or the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. What you say?
No, I was just saying, say Roman, Roman wins and, Cody, see, I can't see anything comedic, coming off of trying to block that. But then I feel if they did something, it would have to be literally spur of the moment. And it would have to be both your, titles are on the line right now. And two guys are coming in to the ring and they have to be huge.
I think realistically, looking from a standpoint of okay, if I was the man in charge and if you want to keep both titles on code, give him both titles, fine. But the way that you take them off logically is Money in the Bank is for one title.
Correct.
Yes.
But it's now we're going to have to extend this. I don't want to see Cody with two titles.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I'm telling you, I don't. I want him to get that winged eagle title.
Yeah, get the win.
Wrestle on Raw.
Yeah.
Come out Monday night with the winged eagle, the throwback title, the title that most is the general consensus is the greatest title ever. Is the winged eagle title.
Yep.
And any Mark out there listening to me is that's that joint. So it's
beautiful.
So it's gorgeous. It's throwback. It's timeless. Have them come out with that one title. And have Roman have the Universal title. Or my thing is, literally, I told you, the funny way to me, I use my funny way, the funny way is Roman come on the mic and be like, listen, this is getting ridiculous. I'm just going to put this up in the Money in the Bank because y'all ain't nobody going to beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And just offer it to the Money in the Bank.
I think it would have even been interesting if they were kind of because he did it one year where he did the Rumble and the title was on the line.
Yep.
They could have easily done that. Rumble. They could have easily said, okay, winner of the match gets the WWE championship. Missed that opportunity because you know what?
Yeah.
They even warned fans pretty much by saying like, oh, Sammy, we want Roman, or sorry, Roman said, Sammy, we want you at my side tonight. That's telling fans, don't expect Sammy in the Rumble. Don't expect any of the bloodline in the Rumble. That's preparing them because they knew that if they didn't say that, 90% of fans were expecting Sammy to walk out at some point. You're preventing the boos by that, by saying that.
Yeah.
And I think it was smart that they had Logan come out before Cody.
I agree.
Because that's where the boos kind of like
Yeah.
Kind of like preparing you for Cody.
He's naturally unlikable, whether right or wrong. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's
superstar though. What a guy.
And he's better than, listen, me, I ain't gonna like this. He's better than 75% of AEW's roster.
And he could talk and everything. Yeah, he's a package. Yeah,
he's a talker.
He's better than 75% of the roster. Look, you can't. Now, listen, I truly believe the greatest wrestling performance in Roman Reigns' career was in Saudi Arabia against Logan Paul. You know why? Because he was doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
He made Logan Paul look like he could win the title. So that's the Lord. Look, yeah. So Logan Paul. Guys, and let me see. You know what? I'm going to say this on the podcast because ain't nobody say it yet. Hold on. Let me take a drink of water. This is going to blow y'all's mind.
This is hot stuff.
I'm scared.
This is going to be. Because I'm going to say it because ain't nobody else going to say it.
Oh, shit.
And I'm not saying I'm happy about it. Don't be surprised. I don't know when. Do not be surprised if Logan Paul is WWE champion.
Yeah, gross.
I can see it too.
WWE is about sponsors and money and revenue.
I can see translating in a mainstream way.
Guys, when Logan Paul walks out to the ring, he looks like a superstar. Logan Paul already has an action figure. Logan Paul's already in 2K23.
Has a successful podcast.
A successful podcast. A energy drink. Guys, you heard it here. You heard it here first. Don't be surprised if Logan Paul is your WWE champion. Within the next decade.
And then I want to see LA Knight kick his ass.
I want LA Knight to be champion tomorrow.
That's what I said. I don't even care what the storyline is.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
I honestly hope LA Knight wins Money in the Bank.
Dude, I would.
That would be incredible.
Dude.
That's the way I think to do
things. So dude.
I think that's the way you do it.
It's looking like a Gunther though.
I know.
He had a great show, and that means something.
Well, mind you, it's in London.
Then I'm definitely right there.
Oh, gosh. He's like, I'm right.
Yeah, it's Gunther now.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I mean, imagine if between now and then you brought up Tyler Bate.
I love Tyler Bate, by the way.
You had him feud with Butch.
Love
like
Butch.
They did in NXT UK.
They were talking about like all-time great matches.
By the time they get to Money in the Bank, they could logically have a one-on-one match if they're built correctly.
I agree.
Just like Piper Niven came back as Piper Niven, you could do something where Butch comes back if he gets like injured, hypothetically, whatever. He can come back as Pete Dunne.
See, I'm mad. I'm mad at
fingers crossed.
COVID, I'm mad at you because we don't got NXT UK no more, and we were supposed to get NXT Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to NXT Japan? COVID. I wanted it. I was trying to get a job in Tokyo.
Freaking whatever you are.
I was trying to grease any wheels I can to get a job in Tokyo.
Yeah.
You know what?
Konnichiwa.
I wanted to ask both of you.
Yo.
What is your boldest prediction for the next 6 months of WWE TV? The boldest prediction.
That's him. That's, ooh. Yeah.
Does somebody come back?
I'm bad at predictions.
Does somebody win a title?
I get lucky with those.
Shoot for the stars with this one. What do you see happening?
It's not going to happen, but I told you, LA Knight, WWE champion before 2024.
Dang.
It's not going to happen, though. Before 2024, LA Knight's hoisting the title. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, now that I saw Nia Jax back, I think she's going to grab something. I'm like, she's just a powerhouse.
Do you think there's a world where we do see like intergender wrestling become a thing in WWE? Because I mean, we did.
I have talked about that before.
They're
with him.
They're they're hinting towards it with Big Rhea, but
it's like, if you want to shake some things up,
it's Vince's philosophy. Vince, people don't even know where things come from. They
yeah,
like the real talk is Vince doesn't like the aesthetic mm-hmm. of a male hitting a woman
right.
in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, people overthink everything. Come on, intergender.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. He doesn't like.
Because I would like to see that match.
But he doesn't like the aesthetic. I believe there's ways around it. I believe she doesn't have to get hit in the face. I believe it could just be collar and elbow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he doesn't like that aesthetic of that punch exchange.
But you really want to shake some things up. What is stopping Rhea Ripley challenging Austin Theory for the U.S. title?
Oh, that would be really cool.
The doors off, I would love to watch that. The thing about Young Theory is he'll lose.
I would love to watch that.
But like, Rhea can go.
Theory's a pro. Theory would lose for Rhea. He's one of those kids, man. Mm-hmm. He cares about the product. He cares about the storyline. He would love to be the guy that loses the title.
Like,
to Rhea.
This is more ridiculous, but because of like their lineage, I'm like, I would die to see Charlotte go against Cody. I would be like, like, come on, that lineage. Oh my God, that would be like, that would be ridiculous. Oh. I'm like, that would be so cool.
I think that's something that you could have like, even had them like face off at like a Raw, the 30th anniversary.
Cody Rhodes, Charlotte Flair would be, that would main event WrestleMania.
Come on.
The lineage.
Cody Rhodes.
Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying.
I got chills when you
said
that.
That's what I said.
Charlotte Flair with main event WrestleMania.
Come on.
Dustin and in his corner, Ric Flair in her corner.
Come on.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, we're done.
I was like,
you have Arn there.
Ooh.
Come on. There's ways of doing this.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Man, we're not going to see that.
I know. I was like, do it. Figure it out. Figure it out, WWE.
Yeah, that's it. Bethany, that's it, man. You got something else?
But rate both Rumbles on a scale of 1 to 10.
I like the Cody. Yeah, I'm a mark for Cody, so I'm giving it a 9 because Cody won. Mm. I'd give it a 10 if I need more surprises. That's just how I am. I'm a sucker. And I'm gonna say a seven for her. Not throwaway surprises. I'm talking about switchblade surprises.
Yeah.
I'm talking about surprises mm-hmm. for the men's. Mm-hmm. So I need it. It was dope though.
Maybe WrestleMania. You never know. Exactly. Maybe switchblade shows up.
Yeah, you've seen Jay White. I've shown you Jay White before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But women's was a 10 for me. The way they did it, the Michelle McCool spot, Rhea going from one to the end, a lot of the young talent coming in, a lot of the new talent coming in, it was the best women's Rumble I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think it's the best women's Rumble of all time.
Dang, I'm tougher. I still want to say 9, but like, it's just because I'm missing like some people that I feel like should have been out there.
Bella should have been out there.
Yeah, instead of certain other people.
But we know why they weren't. The Bella should have been out there for sure.
You know what I've been waiting for Royal Rumble? Eve Torres.
Eve will be dope. Mm-hmm. I like Eve.
Even during her time with the company, I thought she was like a legitimate like champion.
Yeah, I'm all for when it comes to women's Rumble. I'm all for any OG coming through.
Layla, like Michelle McCool and Layla.
Yeah, I'm cool.
That's like an easy like.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the Alicia Foxes of the world. I'm cool with the OG Michelle McCool, Kelly Kellys. I'm cool with Melina. I'm cool with all the OGs coming through. I'm Gail Kim.
Yeah.
I know she soured on WWE.
I think
that would blow the doors off the place.
I mean, there's a change. I think now more than ever, there's probably likelihood that she could show up eventually.
Gail Kim would be such a great call.
Even Hall of Famer, though, too. Yes. I think she deserves that induction.
Absolutely. She was the first mainstream Asian woman on WWE, like TV.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Gail Kim was huge. That was dope. Bray Wyatt match. Don't even know what happened still. Shout out to Mountain Dew, though. Shout out to Mountain Dew.
Pitch Black, go drink it now.
Main event was the best match of the year.
That performance, though, Hardy, the middle of the show. Dude. Come on, what was the thing behind that? That was just...
Listen, I only recognize two Hardys when it comes to wrestling. And no disrespect. I didn't know who he was. Listen, I'm sure you're good. I'm sure you're topping the charts, brother. But I only Matt, Jeff. That's it. I'm sorry. When your name is Hardy, if it ain't Matt, it ain't Jeff. Don't talk to me. Yep. But yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's it. Yo, Andre, it's been a pleasure, brother.
Put yourself over.
My honor.
Put yourself over, brother, before we wrap it up. Put yourself over to the masses, brother.
You can find me on Instagram at Andro, Andro.mm. That's pretty much it. That's my socials.
Damn,
it's my
short and sweet.
Couple things with this young man. This young man got some plans. He got some ideas.
We got some things cooking.
We got some things cooking in the crock pot. You know I'm a fan of crock pot cooking.
The crock pot.
Yeah, man.
Yes. He'll definitely be, you know.
What's up, Big Face? What you saying?
He'll definitely be. I don't need to put myself over.
Oh, everybody know you?
I know.
Damn.
Oh my God. I was trying to say. I'm trying to let people know, you know, you'll probably hear, you know, Andrew, you know, Andrew again, so, you know, as a guest.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me tell you something, though.
For sure.
This moment for me is one of the most full circle moments in my whole career. Because, mind you, Evan is a legend.
But like, I don't know about that.
I mean, he's working on it. He's working. Damn.
There's a story behind this and just the way that it happened. Obviously, we can go deep in that, like, in another episode or whatever. But this is a very full circle moment. So being here is just an honor for me. So thank you guys for even having me.
Thank you for being here.
In all seriousness, brother, thank you for inviting, opening to your home to us.
Of course.
The equipment to us. All I had to do was pull up. Andrew supplied.
I was like,
a couple of days ago, he supplied the sushi.
My pleasure.
Y'all was hating on
you. You can find me at the Pinot Mac. Twitter, Instagram.
You know, big pimpin'.
Yeah, you know.
Kick Rocks Podcast. You know how we do. Shout out to Andrew for pulling up. Shout out to me for pulling up with Andrew. Shout out to LA Knight for doing the Lord's work on Saturday.
Shout out to LA Traffic working with me today.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Y'all, appreciate y'all for listening, man, as always. Next week, we got a couple things cooking as well. Hopefully a guest, see what Andro's up to. Maybe he can pull up. But yeah, man, y'all take it easy.
Dope.
Thanks, brother, for that.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto
Parts. Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.